Let's go back to the book of Revelation tonight. And I'll try not to keep you too long. I do appreciate you being here tonight. Share a couple of thoughts. And Sister Theresa, if you're nervous, I can't tell it, honey. I'll tell you that right now. I appreciate you playing for us today. And my sister Bobby filled in one service or so, and she discovered that I think the piano was turned down about four notches after she got done. And anyway, I didn't know what to think, but it'll all work out, won't it? Amen. Everybody just jump in there where you can. And I was remembering where Andy Griffith was there in the jail with the Darlings. You remember that? And Andy grabbed his guitar, and the old man Darling said, just jump in where you can and hang on. Amen. I think that's what we need to do in the work of God. Just jump in where you can and hang on. Amen. Revelation chapter 2, and to the angel of the church in Pergamos, verse 12, write, these things saith he which hath the sharp sword with two edges. How many have been around long enough to realize the word of God is a sharp sword? And it has two edges. Cuts you going and coming, won't it? Amen. I've often walked up and somebody be reading their Bible and said, be careful. And they look at me like, what do you mean? I said, that thing's sharp. Amen. It's sharp. The word of God. I know thy works and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is. Thou holdest fast my name, has not denied my faith, even in those days wherein Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was slain among you, where Satan dwelleth. But I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam. Now, I just caught something there. There's a difference in dabbling in something. It's dangerous enough to be dabbling in something you ain't got no business dabbling in. But they're holding it. I mean, they've done latched on to it, buddy. And they're going with it, amen. The doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed to idols, and to commit fornication. So hast thou also them that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which thing I hate. Repent, or else I will come unto thee quickly and will fight against them. I think it's important to look at this language here. You remember, let's see, in verse number 14, I have a few things against thee because thou hast there them. There's a division there. You see what I mean? They're not all involved in this. But our Lord is rebuking the good people of the church at Pergamos for allowing that little outfit to do what they're doing over there in the church. And then he said, I'll fight against them with the sword of my mouth. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, as saving or except he that receiveth it. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this church and the Bible. Lord, we know that these letters are prophetical. We know that they are practical. And God, we know that they're personal. And Lord, we know that you have a word there. Every word of God was given, Lord, by inspiration. It's profitable for instruction, for correction. And Lord, we thank you that, God, that you can even use the word of God to reprove us at times. And help us, Lord, correct us. And I pray, Lord, today that you would help us here at the church, Lord, to stay in that old-time way. Lord, I realize, Lord, you can go in a lot of churches today, and the music program sounds like a rock concert. Oh, God, don't ever let us go down that road. Lord, you go in a lot of churches, and Lord, the preachers not even standing, Lord, sitting around and drinking coffee. And, oh, God, help us today to stay in that old-time way, in this old-time book. Help us, Lord, deliver us, Lord, from modernism. Deliver us, our Father, from that that would take us away from the things of God. God will give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I certainly don't want to go back over everything we covered this morning, but Pergamos is a place that was a capital city in Asia Minor. A lot of political power there, intellectual achievement, a lot of pagan worship. Very wealthy city given to luxury and fashion. And our Lord begins his letter to the church at Pergamos by commending them for what was right in their lives. And he makes mention. Now listen, you might say, well, I don't know what the big deal is about Antipas having his name there. I think it's a big deal. I tell you, I believe that the same God that welcomed Stephen home welcomed this martyr home. Amen. And I praise the Lord that Antipas is there. We told you this morning some things about a man by the name of Benjamin Rush, the father of the public schools under the Constitution. And I think that that is certainly a blessing. But the Lord, he came along and he confronts the church now with a definite rebuke. He said, I have a few things against thee. Now, what I want to do tonight is I want to go back to the book of Numbers for just a few minutes. And I want to look a little bit about this doctrine of Balaam and see what went on. It's really a fascinating story. I have to read it and reread it and read it again to even try to begin. It seems like every time I read it, I get something else from it. But I want to show you, there's a main point I want to drive home tonight. Go back with me to Numbers chapter 22, please. The book of Numbers, chapter number 22. And I'll say a little bit about this, what is crept into the church here at Pergamos and what God has to say about it here in Numbers. Numbers chapter 22, the Bible said in verse 1, and the children of Israel set forward and pitched in the plains of Moab on this side Jordan by Jericho, and Balak the son of Zippor, he saw all that Israel had done to the Amorites. Now watch this, and Moab was sore afraid of the people. He said, because they were many, and Moab was distressed because of the children of Israel. So the king of Moab, Balak, he is trying his best now to figure some way to deal with Israel, to deal with the enemy. And I'll be honest with you, I believe the devil's trying his best to find some way to deal with the church. Amen. Especially the church that is in the old time way, a church that is preaching the word of God like it is and teaching the word of God like it is to people like they are. Well, when you come on down, he gets this idea. He's heard about this man, Balaam, a prophet in Israel. And he said, I know what I can do. Maybe if I can get him down here, I'm paraphrasing now. I want you to read this story. I'll guarantee you'll not get it in one reading. You'll have to read it and read it again and read it again and read it again. But he's thinking, well, if I can promise him some things, if I can bribe him, so to speak, that he's saying, what he'll do for me is curse Israel. And Balaam, he looks good in the start of the story. He looks like, man, he's right on track. And it looks like that he just absolutely, I cannot do that. I cannot go beyond the word of the Lord. But there's one thing in particular I want us to see tonight in guarding our church and guarding the old time way and guarding the things of God at your house and at God's house and in this country that we live in. Let's go on down here in verse 10. And Balaam said unto God, Balak, the son of Zippor, the king of Moab, has sent to me saying, Balaam's talking to God now. He said, behold, there's a people come out of Egypt which covereth the face of the earth. Come now, curse me them. Peradventure I shall be able to overcome them and drive them out. Beloved, that's the ultimate goal. Listen, you may think this preacher's nuts, but there's a multitude in the country we live in that would like to overcome us and drive us out of the very country that we live in. that those soldiers bled and died for. I promise you that. I promise you that. Watch this now. And the Bible said in verse 12, and God said to Balaam, watch this. I underlined this in my Bible. Thou shalt not go with them. Thou shalt not curse the people, for they are blessed. Now there's something here. I want you to see it. Let's read on. Balaam rose up in the morning. He said unto the princes of Balak, get you into your land. Get on out of here. For the Lord refuses to give me leave to go with you. I'm not going with you. And the princes of Moab rose up, and they went unto Balak, and they said, Balaam refuses to come with us. And Balak sent yet again princes more. Now watch this. And more honorable. Oh, that didn't impress him. So we'll send some higher ups. We'll send some more of them and more honorable men. Amen. I'm going to tell you something right now. Listen to me carefully. Listen to me carefully. I believe a lot of things have went the wrong way in America, and that actually honorable men had a hold of the steering wheel and thought that they were doing an honorable thing, but they were deceived. Let me say this. If what we're doing does not line up with what God said we ought to be doing, it is not honorable. He said, if a man don't work, man shouldn't eat. Now you can say whatever you want to about every program there is. There are programs that are needed. Listen to me carefully. There are men that are not able to work. There are women that are not able to work. There are children that are born into this world that have no choice and need help. But I'm going to tell you something right now. You let some of them not eat, and they'll find something to do. Mark it down. God's way is always the best way. Now watch. The Bible said here, he sent again princes, more and more honorable than they. They came to Balaam and said to him, thus saith Balak, or Balak, the son of Zippor, let nothing, I pray thee, hinder thee from coming to me. Now let me say something. Balaam's already got a tremendous hindrance from coming to Balak. How many knows what that hindrance is? God said, don't go. He's already got a tremendous hindrance. And Balak, or Balak, he said, the son of Zippor said, let nothing, I pray thee, hinder thee. For I will promote thee unto very great honor. And I will do whatsoever thou sayest unto me. Come therefore, I pray thee, and curse me this people. There's a truth right here that I want us to get tonight. I know we're studying at Pergamos, and I know that Pergamos got caught up in allowing those to hang around that were steeped in the doctrine of Balaam. And so we need to find out what's going on. And Balaam answered and said unto the servants of Balak, if Balak would give me his house full of silver and gold, I cannot go beyond the word of the Lord my God to do more, to do less or more. Don't it sound good? It sounds like he's hanging right in there, but there's something going on in this man's heart. You say, how do you know, preacher? Now therefore, I pray you, tarry ye here also this night that I may know what the Lord will say unto me more. Listen to me carefully. Listen, I'm not trying to be mean tonight. God's already said what he thinks about drunkenness. God's already said what he thinks about laziness. God's already said what he thinks about sodomy. God's already said what he thinks about immodesty. God's already said what he thinks about adultery. God's already said what he thinks about lying. And you can go back and go back and go back and go back all you want to. God's never going to change his mind on what he said about sin. You say, well, preacher, I don't understand. It's legal to buy a lottery ticket. I agree, but it ain't right. He said, preacher, I don't understand. It's legal to abort a baby. I understand that it's legal. That's not right. I understand, preacher, that you can get you an apartment, you can shack up, you don't have to get married. That don't make it right. You listen to me carefully, beloved. Listen to me carefully tonight. I believe with all of my heart, you can legalize, you can legalize, you can keep going back, and you can keep going back, and you can make it acceptable in society. Hollywood, it ought to be called Hellawood. I'm telling you, beloved, tonight they try to make everything that God said is an abomination acceptable in this society that we live in. They crept in, crept in, crept in, creeping in, creeping in. You say, preacher, I don't understand what this has to do with the church. I'm going to tell you something right now. If they'll creep into the country, they'll creep into the church if we let them. We've got to keep the guard up. Amen. We got to be aware. The Bible said over there, I believe it was the book of Jude. Is that right? Certain men crept in unaware. So the Bible said, earnestly contend for the faith. I like this. Which was once delivered unto the saints. God has never changed his mind about what we should be preaching and teaching. It's supposed to be the word of God. We sugarcoat. Amen. Preach a social gospel. Feel good. Come doing wrong, leave doing wrong, but just feel a little bit better about what you're doing. That's what America's guilty of in her churches. The doctrine of Balaam. Watch this now. This kind of, it blows my mind. He said, tarry you this night, and I may know what the Lord will say unto me more. And God came unto Balaam at night and said unto him, if the men come to call thee, rise up and go with them. There's some things in Scripture that are just hard to understand. But here's what you need to realize. There's a sovereign God in this verse right here. And that sovereign God knows what's going on in this man's heart. His heart is, that's just like when you'll read passages of Scripture where the Bible said the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart. God didn't start it. But God finished it. Pharaoh started hardening his heart. Am I right or am I wrong? Read it. And so here, God knows his heart. And Balaam rose up in the morning and he saddled his donkey. And I'm going to say that through this text. And I think y'all know why. And went with the princess of Moab. And God's anger was kindled because he went. And the angel of the Lord stood in the way for an adversary against him. Now he was riding upon his donkey and his two servants were with him. And the donkey saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way with his sword drawn in his hand. Do you understand that God, listen to me, was ready to take the life of this prophet? The angel of the Lord was standing there with his sword drawn. And I'll say this, this donkey had more sense than Balaam had. Balaam gets mad at the donkey. You can go in and read the rest of the story. When in essence, God lets a donkey speak to his prophet. And the prophet realizes that the donkey spared his life. You say, preacher, I don't believe a donkey can talk. Well, I do. I believe a donkey can talk. I believe a great fish or a whale, if you please, can swallow a man and get so sick of him that he burps him up on the shore. Amen. Just like God said, I believe that. I believe a raven, Brother Grizzle, can carry some food down to the man of God and strengthen him and nourish him. I believe God can let a widow woman pour that oil out and just keep pouring and keep pouring and keep pouring. You say, well, preacher, what kind of God do you believe in? I believe in the God of this book, the God of heaven, the God that's still in the miracle working business. And every time a soul is born again, that's the greatest miracle you'll ever see in your life. God spoke to his prophet. So what happens now? Balaam and Balak as well, Balak as well, they realize it's futile. Balaam's not going to be able to curse Israel. So what are they going to do? Go over to chapter 25. And Israel abode in Shittim, and the people began to commit whoredoms with the daughters of Moab. And they called the people unto the sacrifices of their gods. And the people did eat and bowed down to their gods. And Israel joined himself unto Baal Peor. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel. The doctrine of Balaam is talking about being infiltrated by the enemy that surrounds us. It's talking about giving over. And by the way, that's what Samson did. Excuse me, not Samson. Help me, somebody. I said the wrong name. Solomon. That's what Solomon did. He married all those wives and he took up with their strange gods. And I believe with all of my heart, when God is addressing the church at Pergamos, this might be a silly illustration, but how many has ever seen the program called Lost in Space? Some of these young people don't know what that is. How many remembers Will Robinson? How many remembers a robot? That robot will go along like this, danger, danger, danger. I'm going to tell you something right now. The church is in a dangerous place when the enemy's trying to slither in any way that it can. Pull us back. Pull us back to our old gods. Somebody help me. We had them, didn't we? Amen. Pull us out to the gods of this world. Pull us out to heathenism. By the way, I'm trying to move on tonight. That's what happened at Corinth. Paul came to them. He confronted them just like Jesus confronted this church. There was a man there that was committing incest with his stepmother. And Paul said, you got to deal with this. I'm paraphrasing. But he said, you need to turn such a one over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh that the soul may be saved in the day of judgment. You got to deal with it. They hadn't dealt with it. They had just sat back on the... I think that's what's going on with Pergamos here. It wasn't, Brother Brian, like they didn't know they were over there and didn't know what they were doing. And I'll be honest with you. We're all human. Your pastor's human. Things will come down the road sometimes that you're just afraid to deal with. Help me tonight. When you're raising children, there'll be some things that come down the road and I tell you, it takes you a little while. It takes you some praying. It takes getting in the Word of God. It takes God giving us courage. It takes God giving us grace to stand up and do what needs to be done in the right spirit. I praise God for our Sunday school, our youth department. I praise God. Listen, that this is the book. The Bible is the book. But I'm going to tell you something right now. If I ever find out the Bible's not the book, we'll deal with it. We'll deal with it. You say, why? Because God, the God of glory, is going to hold this preacher accountable for what we allow to go on in the house of God. So the Bible, God confronts them with a definite rebuke. He talks about the doctrine of Balaam. I want to give you some things tonight, just a couple of things hurriedly, and we'll go to the house. You say, preacher, do you really believe that things have crept into our country? I do. I'm not being mean tonight, but I wonder if I go to China tonight, if I can get the message on the telephone in English, Chinese, whatever language I want to get it in. I wonder if I go to Japan tonight. I'm not against people coming to our country, but when people used to come to our country, it was because they loved our country. It was because they loved what our country stood for. It was because they loved the opportunity that they were going to be given to worship the God of heaven to the dictates of their own heart. Not the state wasn't going to dictate it. And it was an opportunity to take their hands and go to work and make a life for themselves and their family. I want to read some things tonight, thinking about this church and the doctrine of Balaam and what they had allowed. The Bible said he actually taught Balak to cast the stumbling block before the children of Israel. Can you imagine Balaam off in the corner with Balak saying, here's what will work. I can't curse them, but here's what you need to do. Get them interested in your women. Get them interested in your God. By the way, listen to me carefully. I'm going to say this humbly and reverently, but the same thing's going on today. The devil will come along and try to get your daughter interested in some heathen. And try to get your son interested in some heathen. Are you listening to me? You say, preacher, you got no Bible. Yes, I do. The believer's not supposed to yoke up with an unbeliever. And honey, if you don't date them, you don't never have to worry about marrying them. And all the problems that come. John Adams, signer of the Declaration of Independence. I want you to just see if any of this sounds like what's going on today. He was a judge, a diplomat, one of the two signers of the Bill of Rights, the second president of the United States. He said the general principles on which the fathers achieved independence were the general principles of Christianity. I wonder if you're going to hear that read in a history class. I will avow that I then believed and now believe that those general principles of Christianity are as eternal and immutable as the existence and attributes of God. Without religion, this world would be something not fit to be mentioned in polite company. The Christian religion is, above all the religions that have ever prevailed or existed in ancient or modern times, the religion of wisdom, virtue, equity, and humanity. Suppose a nation in some distant region should take the Bible for their only law book, and every member should regulate his conduct by the precepts there exhibited. What a utopia, what a paradise would this region be. I've examined all religions, and the result is that the Bible is the best book in the whole world. Think about that. We've been infiltrated, haven't we? I'm not trying to be mean, I'm not trying to be ugly, but we've got people in positions of authority in our country that's never had a job. That's never written a paycheck to somebody that worked underneath them. We've got unelected officials. Have no idea what it is to roll up their sleeves and go to work. Like one preacher said sometimes about many pastors, he said, they don't even know the sun comes up a little bit at a time. John Quincy Adams, the sixth president of the United States, was a diplomat, secretary of state, United States senator, representative. He was called Old Man Eloquent. He said, my hopes of a future life are all founded upon the gospel of Christ, and I cannot cavil or quibble away, evade or object to the whole tenor of his conduct, by which he sometimes positively asserted and at other countenances permits his disciples in asserting that he was God. The hope of a Christian is inseparable from his faith. Whoever believes in the divine inspiration of the Holy Scriptures must hope that the religion of Jesus shall prevail throughout the earth. Never since the foundation of the world have the prospects of mankind been more encouraging to that hope than they appear to be at the present time. May the associated distribution of the Bible proceed and prosper till the Lord shall have made bare his holy arm in the eyes of all nations, all the ends of earth. The earth shall see the salvation of our God. In the chain of human events, the birthday of the nation is indissolubly linked with the birthday of the Savior. Boy, how'd you like to stand and read that in the Congress today? The Declaration of Independence laid the cornerstone of human government upon the first precepts of Christianity. Samuel Adams signer of the Declaration of Independence, father of the American Revolution, ratifier of the U.S. Constitution, governor of Massachusetts. Listen to this. Boy, we had some governors that would be willing to say what this governor said. Listen to what he said. He said, I rely upon the merits of Jesus Christ for a pardon of all my sins. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. Thither the righteous flee and are safe. Let us secure his favor. He will lead us through the journey of this life and at length receive us to a better life. I conceive we cannot better express ourselves than by humbly supplicating the supreme ruler of the world that the confusions that are and have been among the nations may be overruled by the promoting and speedily bringing in a holy and happy period when the kingdoms of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, may be everywhere established and the people willingly bow to the scepter of him who is the Prince of Peace. He called on the state of Massachusetts to pray. This is what he asked them to pray for. To pray that the peaceful and glorious reign of our divine Redeemer may be known and enjoyed throughout the whole family of mankind. He asked them to pray that we may with one heart and voice humbly improve his gracious and free pardon through Jesus Christ, supplicating his divine aid. Above all, to cause the religion of Jesus in its true spirit to spread far and wide till the whole earth shall be filled with his glory. And then he asked them to pray with true contrition of heart to confess their sins to God and implore forgiveness through the merits and mediation of Jesus Christ, our Savior. I don't know about you tonight. I believe I'll get to meet some of these men. I believe they were standing in an even place. I believe they were standing on the Word of God. God help us in America. God help us in America. I want to give you one more thing in this list of, I'm just trying to relay to you that I believe that there are a lot of men and women that have given their lives. And this is what they had in mind. That is what they had in mind. That is what they had in mind. Not what we see going on today. I was, and I can't remember. I'll leave that off until I can get the facts. Here's a man by the name of Elias, and I'm not sure how you would say it. It sounds like a French name, Boudinot, and I'd almost say Boudinot, Boudinot, I guess. He president of the Congress. He signed the peace treaty to end the American Revolution. The first attorney admitted to the U.S. Supreme Court. He was a framer of the Bill of Rights, the director of the U.S. Mint. I'll give you something he said, and then I want to read you a letter that he wrote to his daughter. I'll give you a little bit about the mindset and how far we've come away from where our nation was founded. He said, let us enter on this important business under the idea that we are Christians on whom the eyes of the world are now turned. Let us earnestly call and beseech him for Christ's sake to preside in our councils. We can only depend upon the powerful influence of the Spirit of God, whose divine aid and assistance it becomes us as Christian people most devoutly to implore. Therefore, I move that some minister of the gospel be requested to attend this Congress every morning in order to open the meeting with prayer. And now they say, well, I tell you, there's just so many gods out there. I mean, there's Buddha and there's Muhammad and it's just not fair. We've swallowed a lie. Hook, line, and sinker. The 1960s, God had blessed us with a victory in a world war. And I'll tell you, we swallowed a lie of the devil in this country. Listen to the letter that this man, Elias, wrote to his daughter. I want you to think about this. I'd like for every young lady in our congregation to think about getting a letter from Dad He said, you have been instructed from your childhood in the knowledge of your lost state by nature. The absolute necessity of a change of heart and an entire renovation of soul to the image of Jesus Christ. Of salvation through his meritorious righteousness only. And the indispensable necessity of personal holiness. I'm just going to say something. I'm not trying to be mean. But there's a lot of high schoolers in America that couldn't even read that statement. And would have no idea what the words mean. I'm not trying to be mean. But when you leave God out, everything goes to pot. Without which, he said, personal holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. He said to his daughter, you are well acquainted with that most perfect and consummate doctrinal knowledge is of no avail. Without it operates on and sincerely affects the heart, changes the practice, and totally influences the will. And that without the almighty power of the Spirit of God enlightening your mind, subduing your will, and continually drawing you to Himself, you can do nothing. And may the God of your parents for many generations past seal instruction to your soul and lead you to Himself through the blood of His too greatly despised Son, who notwithstanding is still reclaiming the world to God through that blood, not imputing to them their sins. To Him be glory forever. What about somebody that would write those words to their own daughter? You know what he was saying? Let me just paraphrase it for you. Honey, you need the Lord. You can't make it on your own. You're just like Dad. You're lost. You're a sinner. Sinners need a Savior. That's what this man is saying. In a very eloquent language, yes. But he's saying, we need the blood of our darling Savior to be applied in our hearts and in our lives. I had others tonight, but for the sake of time, I'm going to close down with these last two things in the message. We saw that the Lord, He commended the church for what they were doing right. He confronted the church with a definite rebuke. But then He calls on the church and demands repentance. If you'll look with me at verse number 16, He said, repent or else I will come unto thee quickly and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. I'm going to make a statement tonight. Hear me well right here. I won't be dogmatic about it. Listen to me carefully, please. Listen to me carefully. I believe there's a lot of things being blamed on climate change. How many's listening to me tonight? I believe America's days are numbered. You say, preacher, what do you mean? He didn't apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah. He didn't say, oops, I made a mistake. And when we can publicly and openly and unashamedly put a stamp of approval as a nation on something that God said is an abomination, we better look out. I don't know. I just know this, that God is still on His throne, and that God wants us to be a light. It's dark, yes it is dark, but the darker it gets, the better and the greater the opportunity that we have to be a light to those around us. Honestly, when my boy and I, we were working on the parking lot. We were underpinning a classroom, a modular classroom for Cedar View Christian School. When my wife came out and said, honey, our country's under attack. I remember where I was. I remember what I did, Brother Rose. I put my hand, Brother Steve, on my son's shoulder. I said, son, let's pray. You say, preacher, Why did you do that? Well, I'm not trying to scare anybody, but there are some prime targets in Kingsport and the surrounding area. Now, some of you know what I just said. I said prime targets for terrorism. Let me say this to you. I knew that God was in control. And what I saw in the following days, Brother Brian encouraged me. I saw politicians that probably many of them, I'm not judging them, but hey, don't just jerk a Bible out for somebody's funeral and then lay it over there when you're making all the rest of your decisions. I'm saying probably a lot of them don't even know the Lord, but all of a sudden, it was all right to pray in America. And politicians were encouraging people to pray. And I know that first responders are still dying today with their lungs full of that ash and garbage that came out of the... But it just seems to me like how quickly we forget. And I believe what the Lord is saying to the church today is don't forget. Don't forget where we started. Don't forget where we are. There's an enemy. Brother Johnny, he wants Maddox bad. He's stepping on your toes today, and he wants him to be stepping on you and Miss Charlotte's heart tomorrow. He wants him bad. You're going to have to fight for him. Don't forget where we started, and don't forget where we are in the midst. He said, listen carefully. I'm not trying to be sensational, but if God would say to the church in Pergamos where Satan's seat is, what would he say to the church in America? If he hasn't sat down in this country, then you tell me where he has sat down. But God said, I know where you're at. I know your situation. Let's try to keep the enemy on the outside. Stay in the old-time path. And then let me just say this. This will help us too. Not only forget where we came from. We don't need to forget that. We don't need to forget where we are. But honey, we don't need to forget where we're going. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, we can check out of here and go to be with our Lord. This man, Antipas, was faithful to the very end. May God help us to be faithful. Then we see that he calls on the church and demands repentance. The last thing, he comforts the church with a divine reward. Look at verse 17. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna. And I will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it. I'll just say this to the church at Bible Way. There's a payday someday. Amen. Brother Ralph, there'll be a payday for staying in that old path. Amen. There'll be a payday for staying with this old book. Yeah. There'll be a payday, Brother Randy, for loving one another. Amen. There'll be a payday for taking these children under our hearts. I'm so thankful that it's not just adults. I'm seeing young people gather these children in and love on them. What a blessing that is. Amen. What a blessing that is. Are you saved tonight? If Jesus would come tonight, are you ready to go? Are you ready to meet Him? I tell you, if you're not, you need to get ready. How many's glad you come to church today? How many's determined by the grace of God that the doctrine of Balaam will stay out there somewhere? Amen. And that we'll be adorned with the doctrine of God. God's holy word. Amen. Appreciate you coming tonight. It's comforting to know that when we don't know, He does. He knows. Our Father tonight, we need your help. Lord, we dare not boast in anything that we've done or accomplished. We boast tonight